The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Lent is from Deuteronomy chapter 26. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from your land that the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket. You shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall make a response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number. And there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid on us hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruits of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite and the sojourner who is among you. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 10. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you, then, will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We begin the Lenten season, or at least the Sundays in Lent, with the temptation of our Lord. For 40 days, Jesus was out in the wilderness, allowing himself to be tempted by the old evil foe. 40 days. It's interesting. Wouldn't you know it, the Lenten season lasts for 40 days, minus the 6 Sundays included in there. So if you did the math from Ash Wednesday to Easter, it would be 40 days minus the Sundays. I don't think that's a coincidence that it's 40 days. 40 is a significant number. How long did it rain, days and nights, during the flood? 40 days. How long were the Israelites wandering out in the wilderness? 40 years. How long did Moses fast when he went on top of Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments? It's a little lesser known one. 40 days. No food, no water. And he did it multiple times because, of course, the Israelites were disobedient. And he had to go back up a couple times. It's interesting. Again, with these 40-day references, it's almost as if Jesus is once again fulfilling the Old Testament, the law, and the prophets, because he is. Where mankind failed, Jesus is not going to fail. Where Israel failed in the wilderness, Jesus never failed. Now, we should keep in mind that when Jesus goes out into the wilderness for these 40 days, this happens right after his baptism in the Jordan. The first verse of our text, a gospel reading, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan. So he just came out of the waters of holy baptism and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So the Spirit led him into the wilderness. He had to go into the wilderness. If you recall Jesus' baptism, he wasn't standing in the Jordan River for his own benefit, we said. If you recall, he is baptized for our benefit. It is there in the waters of the Jordan being baptized, submitting to baptism, that Jesus is identifying with you, with me, with all sinners. He is announcing that he publicly is standing there. He is announcing that he is the Christ. And he stands with sinners to redeem sinners and to fulfill all righteousness. So the same idea of the Christ's baptism for us, now that goes out into the wilderness, into his temptation as well. Now, sure, you can say, it is proper to say, that Jesus' temptation provides us with an example to follow. Jesus endures. He stands strong in the face of temptation. He doesn't break. He knows God's word perfectly. Of course, he's the author, right? He knows God's word perfectly, and he counters the devil's lies with God's pure doctrine, true word of God. And he wins the battle, and he does so perfectly. But when you and I miss a meal, we think we're about ready to die. Parents, you know this, right? I'm pretty sure at some point in your life you've heard your kids say, "Mom, what's for supper? I'm starving to death," they said. To death. "Son, you just ate like 2 bowls of cereal 2 hours ago. I think you'll survive. You're not dying." But Jesus is hungry, 40 days. He's tempted, and he's tempted to turn stones to bread in order to eat. So here, for us, this temptation can stand in for all temptations, really, of the body, of this physical body, everything that has to do with this body. It even includes things like laziness, slothfulness, gluttony, or any other kind of selfish indulgence that has to do with the body. But for 40 days, Jesus endured for 40 days. Which one of us wouldn't have turned those stones into bread and eaten that bread? If we could, of course. Jesus once again responds, and he responds perfectly. He says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And you and I, we get so distracted so easily by the cares of this world. Jesus is tempted with the whole world, all the kingdoms, the devil says, all the kingdoms could be yours if you only just bow down and worship me. This temptation deals with the seduction or the lure of power and authority. It's the temptation faced by anyone who has a position of power or authority, the desire to make others bend to your will, the desire and the ability to make others squirm under your heavy hand and make them do your bidding. Or for those without much power or authority, it's the temptation to idolize or be jealous of those who do have that power or authority. Or on the flip side of that, thinking that, you know what, I sure would be better than whoever God has placed over me in authority. But once again, Jesus doesn't break. This is not why he came. As it is written, he says, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." So what do we human beings do when we do have power, or when we do have popularity, or both? What do? We show them off. We use them. But Jesus doesn't give in to the temptation of throwing himself off of the pinnacle of the temple in order to show off who he truly is. Could he have the angels catch him so that he doesn't fall? Yes, for he is the very Son of God. But he refuses to show off because this is not why he came. So here we have the temptation of glory, of vanity, of showing off, of wanting to be a celebrity, of fame, to become an idol unto ourselves. What do you want to be when you grow up? All too common answer these days, I want to be a YouTuber or a TikToker. I want to be famous. But again, this is not Christ's mission. This is not why he came. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test, he responds. You see, our sinful nature is bent towards fleshly power and popularity and glory, these things, but not our Lord Jesus Christ. He had all these things, but he sets them aside. He gives them up in order to save men and for men and for our salvation. His glory is not to be showing off by throwing himself off the temple and having the angels catch him. His glory is to be lifted up on the cross for all the world to see. He came not for a life of pleasure, but to endure hardship and pain. He came not for glory, but to be despised and rejected even by his own people. He does all of this for us, on our behalf. Should you and I be more like Jesus? Should we stand strong in the face of temptation and not break? Should we discipline our appetites, our bodies? Should we stop treating our stomachs and our other bodily members as if they are our God? Should we keep our worldly passions in check and our worldly authority in its proper place as what they truly are, gifts from our Heavenly Father, given to us for our own good, yes, but also for the good of others? Should we practice humility, not showing off and stop caring so much about what other people think, but rather use whatever power, popularity that God has given to us in his service for the sake of others? Of course, the answer is yes, we should. After all, Christians are disciples of Christ. That word means that we are learners or followers of Jesus. So yes, our lives should reflect the life of our Lord Jesus, where he stands strong and fights temptation with God's power, with God's word, and with prayer. We should follow. Where he humbles himself, we should follow. Where he sacrifices himself, lays down his life for the sake of others, we should follow. where he endures hardship and suffering, we should follow. But if the temptation of Jesus, this gospel reading today from Luke 4, if this temptation of Jesus in the wilderness is only providing us with an example to follow, we are in deep, deep trouble. And we are left without any hope, without any comfort. Yes, as a child of God, I want to follow my Lord Jesus. I want to follow his example, but I will readily admit I fail. I miserably fail. I fail to do what I should as Jesus would. I stumble and I fall, giving in to the bazillion temptations that are flying around my head at any moment, even though every single one of those bazillion temptations is far less than anything Jesus endured. So thankfully, there's a lot more going on here than just simply giving us an example on how to fight the devil in the wilderness. Like his baptism, Jesus didn't need to be going out into the wilderness to be tempted for his own sake, but for our sake. He endured it all, not for his own benefit, but for our benefit. Once again, he stands there in our place as our substitute, accomplishing what we are unable to do. Jesus is on a mission. Standing in our place as our substitute, he will not disobey his Father's will. He will remain faithful. Where Adam failed to remain faithful and obedient to God in the garden, Jesus never fails. Where the Israelites failed to be faithful and to be obedient to God in the wilderness, Jesus never fails. Where you and I fail to be obedient and to be faithful in this sinful world, Jesus never fails. So Jesus' life will be perfect, perfect devotion and service to his God, his Father alone. Where we doubted, Jesus does not. He trusted. Where we sinned, Jesus obeyed. Where we turned away from God and worshiped false idols, Jesus was resolute and faithful. This man, Jesus Christ, the very Son of God in the flesh, is our Savior, our substitute, as we've just sang, our champion. His victory now is our victory, and Satan is no match for our champion. Our gospel reading ends with these words, and when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. We know when that opportune time comes. Satan knew he was not going to defeat our champion out there in the wilderness, but he will be back, and he will give his all to try to derail Jesus from going to the cross, being lifted up, and complete his ultimate sacrifice for the sake of sinners, his death on the cross for our salvation. But once again, the devil is no match for our champion. What the devil intends for evil, our Lord intends for good, for our good, for the forgiveness of our sins and our restoration, for our eternal salvation. So during these 40 days of Lent, we recognize and we repent that we repent of the fact that we all too often do fall. We do fail. And we give in to temptations far too often. And when we fail miserably. But we also know and we trust not only are we forgiven of all of our sins in Jesus Christ, we also know that where we doubt, Christ remains faithful for us. Where we have sinned, Christ obeyed for us. And where we have turned away from God, Christ was resolute and faithful for us. Where we fail, Jesus never fails. So the temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ is first and foremost, ultimately, good news. It is good news for you because by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, baptized into his death and to his resurrection, God now sees you wrapped in Christ. Everything Christ accomplished on the cross, he has delivered to you. So now when the Lord looks at you, he sees Christ's victory over Satan. He now sees you as if you have always trusted, if you have always obeyed him, and that you have always been faithful, just as Christ has always obeyed and been faithful. Everything Christ accomplished for your substitute, as your substitute, by grace through faith, belongs to you. And that means our champion's victory over the devil and his temptations is your victory. Thanks be to God, Jesus never fails. And our champion promises that he will help you in your hour of temptation. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.